do for you. Amen. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me. Amen. I wasn't there when they crucified my Lord. I wasn't. It's a pretty song. It's a good question. But we weren't. We weren't there when he was crucified. And we haven't been through what he's been through. And blessed are you when you're persecuted for his name, because that's just a little bit of what he went through. Just a little bit. Just a little taste. You don't go looking for it, but you're strong in it, because you have come to know the Lord. And I love you more than ever before. He says that to you, and you say that to him. Because we are continually growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grow to know him more, the more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. Well, we don't have to find the Lord. He's everywhere. Oh, we do need to find the Lord. He is everywhere, but we need to find him. We need to find him in the midst of trials and tribulations. We need to find him. We know he's there. Oh, of course I know he's there. How many people do you know? Oh, I know God is with me. Well, sometimes you feel like you need to say you better find him then if he's with you. He's here somewhere. It comes to my mind of the story time, of the time that Vicky came out of the gas station and John wasn't there. As far as he knew, Vicky was with him. She's right there in the back. She's way in the back. Needed to find her. Glad to find her. When you found her. Oh, yes, he was. Yes, he was. Scared to death, but glad. Whose fault was it? It doesn't matter. It was correctable. It wasn't Vicky's in Denver and John's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Amen. Amen. But you know, how long could you have gone on without her, not knowing, if we didn't have cell phones, if we didn't have communication? How far could you have gone? A long ways. A long ways. And there's a lot of people that go a long ways without Jesus. Even though Jesus is with them, they're going a long ways without him. Continuing on as though he was right there, but not abiding. Jesus said, abide in me. Abide in me. And so when we did the little exercise, if you want to call it that, of just a minute. Just a minute with the Lord. Just with the Lord. Just a minute. Bringing every thought into captivity till there wasn't any thinking. It's an amazing exercise. And the more you exercise it, the more you understand that you're going to have to keep bringing yourself back. Because there's a lot of other thoughts. You can have a lot of other thoughts. I remember back some time ago, I mentioned that some guy had said he's never gonna sing songs from some church. I can't remember which one. I'm not going to sing them anymore because he didn't feel like they were theologically sound. I think Hillsong. Because they said, Bethel, you didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. Well, he did. He did. We have a peace. We have a peace of heaven. You can have a peace of heaven anytime. It's not the heaven above the heavens, but heaven. When you sit down and take the time to be with the Lord, doesn't that feel like better than any place you've been? Doesn't it? When you just sit in His presence, folks, I'm telling you, you're experiencing a little piece of heaven. Oh, it can't be. Why can't it be? If it is to me, it doesn't have to be to you. But what if it is? There's a lot of people in this world that don't agree with us. Anytime. There's disagreement in the church. There's disagreement maybe in this church. There's disagreement between the churches. There's disagreement about our president. There is. But stay the course. Believe. Even when I don't see it, He's working. Even when I can't feel it, He's working. But guess what? How about if we feel it? How about if we, by faith, feel like He's working? How about if we just enter in to peace and trust and agree with the Lord in prayer? How about if we just agree with the Lord with no input on our part at all, just being in place with the Lord? How about it? How about just believing God? It didn't look to Paul, like they were all going to survive when that ship was falling apart. But I believe God. I mean, the boat was tipping and rocking and everybody was afraid it was going to. So it wasn't like he came out and just said, Oh, everybody, God has appeared to me and I believe God. The sea didn't get peaceful and everything changed. No, the boat was rocking and it was shocking. But he believed God. And he had peace to believe God. And he probably had some thoughts, anytime now, Lord. I'm thankful that the first prophet that I listened to said, we aren't going to know till January 18th. I just got peace till January 18th. And if the Lord decides to do it tomorrow, it'll be fine, but something big will happen on the... God is just so good. Jesus talked about a lot of stuff that wasn't going on at the time that would be going on at another time. And he said, if you can believe it, when he told them, he said, when they were just marveling at the temples, Jesus said, that's all going to get torn down. It's going to get torn down. And in 3 days, it'll be raised up again. Well, he was talking about physical and spiritual. The temple was down. Spiritually, he was up. Can we believe God in the midst of things? In 1 Peter chapter 2, you have the scripture that says, for it's God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. By doing good, silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. It doesn't say, tell them you're just so ignorant, I can't even believe you're alive. It says, by your good deeds, quiet the foolish talk of ignorant people. Have you ever noticed that if you don't enter into a foolish conversation, the conversation ends? If you just walk away from a foolish conversation? If you just ignore the foolish conversation? If you just have a different conversation in the midst of the foolish conversation? I like to watch The Blacklist. I like it. And there's a lot of implied stuff that goes on that you don't see. But you see things like last night somebody asked Reddington a question. And he just started off on an answer that absolutely had nothing to do with the question. He told an old story that came to his mind. And we're sitting there, we're laughing. We've seen it before. But I mean, he's just, and it isn't even a, I don't even think it was that good of a story. But he just told this story. He just rattled on, and the person that had asked him the question that had nothing to do with the story just stood there. And then he gave him an answer that left him speechless, and that was the end of it. By your good deeds, by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people. Live as free people. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Live as free people. But do not use your freedom to cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Practical faith. Jesus came and showed us what practical faith was. The practical thing to do. The God thing to do. To the world, it would be radical faith. It would be crazy faith. It would be weird faith. But there wasn't really anything weird about Jesus. Was it? He just told people things. And usually when he told people things, they ran out of things to say. When he fed thousands and they showed up at the next place, he just sort of, in a roundabout way, explained to them there's greater things than the bread you had yesterday. There's a lot better things. They were at least happy to have the bread. Some people aren't even happy to have the bread. But they at least followed him for the bread. There's a lot of people that just don't really put any trust in Jesus after they've had the bread. The Lord speaks something to you in church and it floats away after a little while. Unless the Lord brings it back. Sometimes God speaks to me about things and I forget to write them down. And now I have to sit and go, what was it, Lord? What was it, Lord? He spoke to me about practical faith. And then he spoke to me again, kept saying practical. And so I went to look to see what he had said about it. I hadn't written it down, but it was important enough to him to remind me until I wrote something down. And so I wrote down that God spoke to me about practical, but I forgot what he said about it. So my note says, I forgot to write this down. That'd be Reddington. I forgot to write this down. What'd you forget to write down? I don't know what I forgot to write down, but practical had something to do with it. Jesus, there's just something about that name, you know? Sometimes you know that there's something about that name. But oftentimes we don't even have 60 seconds to think about what there is about that name. Oh, yes, I know Jesus is for me. Yeah, just a second, let me check that. Oh, my fingerprint doesn't work. There it goes. What were we talking about? True or not? Is your phone still in the rice, Vicky?
No. It's kind of working.
Leave it in the rice. You have time. Leave it in the rice. So who cares now? You don't understand. I can't do what they say that I should do. If I don't do what they say I should do, it'll work bad enough so I can get a new one. That wasn't your thinking, of course. I hope it's not the way my folks got me a new car. It is. He's going to give her the down payment. Yeah. Oh, man, that was so generous when my folks bought me a new car. I only had to come up with 60% more. Just because Dave's car only cost this much doesn't mean that 5 years later a car will cost this much. Like I said in the funeral, she always liked Dave best. We can't go with Jesus like Jesus is better than nothing. He's better than anything. He's better than everything. And he has given us absolutely practical ways to live life. And yes, it may look radical to others. But it works. Jesus works. Even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we can't feel it, he's working. So the important part of that is he's working. He's working. God's doing things. Of course we like to be able to see and feel what he's doing. Of course we would like to know. But the truth is sometimes we don't want to know. Because we don't want to be responsible. But he said, blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. Just trust him. Just trust him. I believe God is going to be magnified, and I believe God is going to be glorified, and I believe people are going to be amazed when this election's all done. And I won't say, oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters. It matters because it matters for the world. It for me personally, I'll be okay. But just because I'll be okay doesn't mean I don't want the best. See, we can't just sit back and say, well, you know, God is for me. Who can be against me? I tell you what, there's a lot of people who can be against you. There are a lot of people against you. I am convinced when Vicki and I went on our short motorcycle ride and we would try to go Facebook Live and I would be doing it, and every time I mentioned praying for our country, it died. I'm pretty sure that was just an early runner of how they censor everything that goes out. But I believe God's going to censor them. And the truth is going to get through, and the truth is going to make people free. And some people are just going to refuse to believe the truth. I'm sorry for them. But maybe they will eventually. That's the desire. That's God's desire. That's been God's desire all along, that nobody would perish. Now, if you read, when you read Leviticus, you really have to work at enjoying Leviticus. Because it's sacrifice, 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 sacrifice. And I was thinking today as I was reading it, probably a little bit yesterday too, and, you know, and it's like, this is what they did. This is what they had to do. And it had to be done this way. Yell at your wife, you better go find a bull to sacrifice. I got to get a bull again. You know? I wonder if I can get away without a perfect one. What? I'm not going to give my best one. Better think twice about that. I mean, that was what they did. It's no wonder they got tired of what they did. But there wasn't any other way. There was just no other way. And then there were these little glimmers of promise like, well, I will take out your stony heart and I will put in a heart of flesh and I will put my word in your heart. What good's that going to do? I'm still going to have to get the bulls. Pay attention. Pay attention. The time is coming and now is. Is this the time? Is this the time? They started looking for a time and then he came and they didn't recognize him. In the message or in something, some translation, when you compare translations, the response about Jesus is, nail him to a cross. That's where it hit my heart. I wasn't there when they nailed it to a cross. That was an old spiritual that was sung by the slaves. Maybe it was one message of it was, hey, he ain't been nailed to a cross yet. He might have been whipped. Might have get hung from a tree, but you haven't been nailed to a cross yet. Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Because even though they were being terribly, terribly, terribly treated, they had the hope of the freedom that's in Christ. Now, I wasn't there when they nailed him to a cross. I can't quite imagine them nailing him to a cross. I don't really even want to dream about it. Or nightmare about it. You know, I believe it. But I don't want to see it. But I will if he wants me to. I want to be wherever he wants, whenever he wants, whatever it takes. But I believe it. I believe it. And I believe there was a lot more in it than I understand. And I believe there's a lot of answers still ahead of me that come from that. If I can trust him for my salvation, can't I trust him for everything else in my life? Whose report will we believe? Are we gonna take some report that pours fear into us and stuff into us, you know? We don't have to fear when the terror comes near. We're servants of God. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm going to live. I'm going to live. You know, Mom lived until she died. She lived until she died. She just kept smiling. She just kept loving. She kept saying amen. She said, I'm getting old. But she never thought, why am I still alive? She never once said, why am I going through this? And she never did say, I really did love Babe Ghost. She did call me Dave a few times, but that's okay. But what I'm saying is that she, God did something there. And if he could do something there, he did something in me that I don't know about yet. And so no matter what's going on, he did things. And he's doing things. So, live as free people. Don't use your freedom to cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves. That's practical. Romans 12 says, present yourself to God a living sacrifice. It's a reasonable service. It's a reasonable thing to do. There's a lot of things that are just simple, reasonable, practical things that Jesus taught that just bless those that curse you. It's a reasonable thing to do. It's the practical thing to do. It's what you do. Not necessarily. But it's what works best. Isn't it? It really is. Whenever we practice the practical of Jesus, we walk away from it going, that's the best thing. And then we get another opportunity on one that we haven't practiced before. And we maybe have to chew on it. We maybe fail it. We may fall apart at it. We may blow it so badly that we don't feel like God should ever forgive us. But then we remember that he says, do it again. That's practical faith. That's putting it all into practice. Because if we don't put it all into practice, then none of it's going to work. It just, because it all was meant to be a capsule. And so Jesus came and he walked this earth. And it, he didn't say, oh, look what I just did there. Did you see that? Did you see that? Dude, did you see that? Sometimes he did have to say, okay, let's just go over history just a little bit, guys. Okay, we just fed how many people? With how many loaves? And you're sitting here wondering if you brought enough bread? I mean, just think about it. I mean, that's just how simple it was. Sometimes you just got to think about it. You just got to think about it. And you got to take in the whole thing. See, Vicky's just dancing in the streets because she's getting a new phone. And John is saying, yeah, you're getting a new phone. I'm going to make up the difference. And you're kind of in the position that I was, John, when now Vicky has had two new phones and I can't get a new phone because she's got both of our contracts tied up.
It's not my fault.
It's never your fault, honey. I would never put you at fault, but it's true. And so you know, but it's okay because Shiloh's old one works. The only down thing of it is that it's going to quit working. I'm going to have to switch phones again. And I still... What was that?
It's good for your mind.
It's good, yeah, it's good for my mind. Yes, we hear about that. It's good for my mind. Does that mean there's something wrong with my mind? You must be crazy being married to her. No, I'm not. Oh, I am the blessedest man in the world, and blessedest isn't a word, but that's okay. But it's funny. You know? It is. The story that began this story was the funniest story on earth. You know, yours spent just a little time in the toilet. Hers just lived there for a while. while she went looking for it. She looked everywhere. She didn't ever find it if she didn't have to go to the bathroom again. I'd have found it. That would have been awful, wouldn't it? If I found it. Oh, honey. Oh, you didn't have a phone. That's right. I couldn't call you. If I drove out by where you were, what if I found you and said, honey, I found your phone.
Good friend of mine. You're right on.
It's not her fault. God's perfecting us. He is perfecting us. He really is. And you know, it's not his fault if we don't get it right. It probably is our fault, but we're still learning when we don't get it right. And he forgives us. We don't always think about it, you know? But when we think about it, don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't give in. Just start to praise the Lord again. Give him 60 seconds. If 60 is too long, give him 30 seconds. If 30 is just tough to get to, give him 5 seconds. Give him a second. Just a second. I will look up. I'll look up. Where's my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. I will not fear when the terror comes near. I am serving a God. Nothing changes that. I'm a servant of God. I'm loved by God. I'm blessed of the Lord. When I call upon the Lord, he hears me. When I seek him, I find him. He's always near, but am I always looking for him? Am I always just, you know, I don't want to take him for granted. I don't want to become the person, you know, Vicky makes me good food. And I tell her that's really good. And that example, I think, has worked through because when my children come home, I hear them tell their mother, thank you. That was really good, Mom. More than once. This is practical faith. Practical faith is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Sometimes you got to put in a good workout. Sometimes it takes a lot of strength. Not to love God, but to love God. Because if you do what I say, you love me, he said. So sometimes it takes more effort. Not to love him, but to do what he says, because that proves our love for him. It's not in works, lest anyone should boast. It's just a fact. He gives us something to do. We do it. Right? And we expect it right. I remember all of the stuff that you used to have on with a lab that you guys used to use and the time you'd spend on the phone trying to get them to do what they said they would do when they said they would do it and do it right, because if it wasn't right, it ain't right. God gives us everything that we need to get it right, including a lot of extra times to try. There are some things that I've handled the first time. And there are some things that I fail without knowing that I failed them. And then I think, you know, I might not have done that right. And then I realize, boy, I didn't do that right. I might have been okay skimming Leviticus, but not so good in John. Just live. Abide in Christ. If you abide in me, and I abide in you. Jesus said, you know, you in me and me in them, we're one. He dwells in us richly. Richly. And there's always everything. Everything. God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. So that it's God's will that by doing good we should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. People really can't argue with faith. And people with faith don't have to argue. People with faith don't have to argue. I don't have to explain my faith. Jesus didn't say anything. Didn't answer them when they lied about him. Didn't answer a thing until they said, Are you the Messiah? Oh, I am. They'd have liked all the other answers better than that one. And their response was, let's crucify him. We got to kill this guy. Because he's claiming to be who we think he is. They wouldn't ask him if they didn't already know, would they? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You can do this. We can do this. We can do this. We affected the whole wide world, John, when you prayed and we agreed. We just added to the prayers and we've pleased the Father. Father, in Jesus' name, that's what we want to do is please you. If we please you, life's good. And we're thankful, Lord, that you are so kind that you will give us just a little bit of a hello if maybe we're off the mark. We trust you for that. We trust you, Lord, that you won't just let us go astray. We're thankful for that. We put our trust in you and we receive from you according to your riches and glory. So once again, Lord, we take authority over every lying spirit, over every wrong thing, over every fraudulent thing. We take authority over those. We just pray, Lord, you have said in your word that you will expose the darkness. We declare the darkness exposed. And as it is exposed, we declare it defeated. And we just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your direction. Your instruction in prayer. And we give you glory and give you honor and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen.